Sex industry workers are a diverse group. They include prostitutes, strippers, performers, models, retailers, and others. People who wash dishes at clubs and valet parkers and the managers of these people. Last week, we put out our educated guess that there are roughly 5,000 employees working in the business of sex in the Portland area, or one out of 25 service workers. Keep in mind that we're including all the support personnel at strip clubs, as an example, as well as people more directly involved.
There are many part-time sex workers, some in households struggling to pay the rent, some students carrying big tuition costs. Research in the UK in 2015 found that 1 in 20 university students were employed in the industry. Here's Dr. Hakim.
And it also has facilitated part-time work. Many studies in Europe have shown that graduate students, undergraduate students, work part-time sometimes, either in sexual entertainments like lap dancing or in the sex trade itself, because it's possible to do it part-time.
Some people make big money in this business. Department of Justice lawyer Scott Kern is referring here to a recent study of pimps conducted by the Urban Institute.
How much could a trafficker or a pimp make in a weekly payday? The study, the one I think was like 2014, is what my little note says. And they were averaging in Atlanta, and the quote was, a pimp's weekly payday, over $32,000 a week. In Denver, $31,000 a week. Seattle, $18,000 a week. Miami, $17,000. Dallas, $12,000. D.C., $11,500. San Diego, $11,000. These are people that are making money by victimizing and exploiting other individuals, primarily women.
Some sex workers, maybe a minority, have what our labor economist Dr. Marina Della Giusta calls agency. Here's Dr. Della Giusta speaking on this subject.
The whole idea that, you know, that there is no agency in prostitution, I think, is quite problematic.
What do you mean by agency?
The idea that sex workers don't have any control over what they do, I think, is wrong. We need to think about it as, you know, as we would in actually a lot of other forms of personal services. You know, think about people who do domestic work. You know, some of them may be horribly exploited and some of them may not be. And, you know, having a catch-all situation in which you're trying to say, oh, this is just female entrepreneurship at the one end, and at the other end of the spectrum, you're saying, oh, these are all poor victims to be rescued, I think is wrong. And it's not what we find when we actually talk to sex workers.
For some in the industry, sex work may be a sustainable career path. Here's porn filmmaker Lily Campbell on making a living for life.
In the first week of me starting, I got on the phone with the director of AIM, Adult Industry Medical. It's not around anymore, but they focused on providing medical and mental counseling for people in the adult industry. And I called them just to kind of get a perspective on how to enter into the field with a good, healthy, sustainable mindset without, you know. And so I've tried to keep integrity at the core of everything that I do.
How long ago was this?
13 years ago. 13,
so you haven't burned out. I don't sense any burnout in you.
No, I love it. I love it so much. I love my job.
And it is a career, is that right?
Yeah, definitely. At this
What's
point.
A career? You mean you can make a living and pay your rent or mortgage and...
Yeah, and I see longevity in what I do. I pretty much know at this point that unless I want to do something else, that I can continue doing one thing or another in the adult industry.
And sex workers do have workers' rights. At least some of them do. Let's hear Commissioner Brad Avakian tell a story from the State of Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industry.
The case against the Star Strip Club in Beaverton, where we discovered two underage girls that had been forced into dancing as a 15-year-old, the other that had been forced into prostitution out of the club and as a 13-year-old. That was a case in which we had two very vulnerable workers we had seen in the newspapers that a manager, a mid-level manager at Stars, was being criminally prosecuted in Washington County for helping to facilitate the prostitution of the 13-year-old. That individual is now in prison, as is another one that was involved in that case. But I felt very strongly that the owners of the club that had profited by what had gone on had to be held accountable as well, and that the two girls that had been subjected to this horrific situation were entitled to be made whole. This 13 and 15-year-old that were at the club were in fact employees. They were not independent contractors, as was first claimed by the club, which frankly is rather absurd that you would have a 13-year-old being prostituted out of the back room that is somehow defined as an independent contractor. We knew that was absurd. The investigation proved that these were employees of the club, that they had experienced the kind of harassment and abuse that they had claimed, and that the club owners knew or should have known that this was going on. So the investigation found ample evidence of violations of the state's civil rights laws, our sexual harassment laws, and that's the theory on which we prosecuted the case. There was a settlement on the 13-year-old girl that had been forced into prostitution. It was $1.25 million, the largest settlement in Bureau history for an individual worker. The 15-year-old that had been subjected to dancing, lewd touching and comments from men in the club and managers there actually went to a hearing. That proposed order recommended a $1 million award for the 15-year-old. The proposed order in that case will go to the deputy commissioner, and she will make the final decision, and we're awaiting that now.
So you mean if you're an employee in a strip club, you have some rights?
If you are an employee, you're entitled to certain protections, things like getting meal and rest periods, being paid at least the minimum wage, and just as important, you're entitled to civil rights protections to be kept free from discrimination and harassment on the job. Those laws do not apply to independent contractors. They only apply to employees.
All right, then. How do you know you're an employee versus a contractor?
What we have found most often in these strip clubs is that people do have specific shifts they need to work. They do have particular attire, even costumes that they're wearing, that must be approved by management. There are very strict rules regarding how people get paid and what happens with tips and what kind of interactions you can have with customers that come in. All of this tightly controlled by the employer. Most of the time, that's going to mean the individual's an employee.
We'll have more to say on this later in the series when you hear it again from another perspective.
How about immigration? Does the legal status of immigrants have any special bearing on the sex industry? Are foreign nationals any more likely to be working in this industry? It looks like there's no significant connection. Here's Attorney Kern.
Talk about trafficking. Is there a connection between trafficking, sex trafficking, and illegal immigration?
I mean, there certainly can be. There certainly have been instances of it. But simply because someone may be coming into the country illegally doesn't mean that they're going to be involved, A, in any criminal activity, besides the fact that they illegally came into the country. It doesn't mean that they're going to, and it doesn't mean that they're going to be involved in sex trafficking. There have certainly been cases around the country where people have been involved in sex trafficking, and in fact, they've also been here illegally. But that being said, there's also lots of cases around the country where there are U.S. citizens who are here legally, and they are also involved in sex trafficking.
So there's no necessary connection or logical automatic connection between immigration and trafficking?
No, I would not say there is an automatic connection.
Does the Sanctuary Cities program figure into your work?
For my purposes, directly by itself, it doesn't. Because as a prosecutor, In working with law enforcement investigates sex trafficking. And so whether the person that's engaged in being a trafficker is a U.S. citizen or not a U.S. citizen, if they're engaged in sex trafficking or trafficking of individuals, they're going to be investigated. And it doesn't matter whether they're a U.S. citizen or not. They're going to be investigated. I discovered oddly relief that came with freedom from desire.
So yes, the sex business is an industry, and it seems to be thriving here. Next time, in episode 5, we'll talk more about law enforcement issues. Who's doing what, and are they making progress?
Of course, we'd like to hear your feedback. At the end of this series, we'll do a full episode in which you get to speak your mind on the subject. If you have a comment or question about the series or about the sex trade, we'd like to hear it. Call the KBOO Newsroom at 503-231-8032, extension 202, and we'll hear you out and put you on the air.
For KBOO News, this has been Tom Flynn with Natalie Monti. Join us next time for another episode of Sex for Sale.